You're listening to the Be the Church podcast of Anderson Christian Church. Be sure to visit us online at accbethechurch.com.
While they are making their way, we will prepare to begin our new sermon series entitled Now. And I'm excited about this because God's been teaching me quite a bit over the past year or so in regard to my hesitancy to being faithful to Him. And it's a difficult lesson. It's one that as I've spent time in prayer, I have felt His urging and just His direction that instead of waiting for everything to be planned out and figured out and for me to feel comfortable enough, that it's that step of faith into what it is He's called me into now. Not a little bit later, not when I feel like it's going to be okay, but now, being faithful to that call. And I mentioned last weekend a little bit this morning of just how that's been taught to me over and over again. When I went to Honduras, it was just so blatantly there for me to grab a hold of this understanding that as I saw these individuals that are living in Honduras that went now. There's Justin and Ashley, you know, the folks that kind of started Sparrow and went down there. They had a plan for what it was going to look like when they went, right? They had everything kind of drawn out, or at least this desire of what things would look like. And it doesn't really look like that, you know, but God honored that faith of going now, of them saying, here I am, use me, and then God opened the doors and the opportunities, and He's molded it the way that He wants. All He needed from them was that initial act of faith of stepping up and acting now. And so I've seen it time after time, Chris and Alicia as well, and seeing their desire and their willingness to go. And so all the time in Honduras, I saw just this need in my own life to stop sitting back and waiting and hesitating and waiting for when I'm comfortable or when I feel like God's given me enough details and stepping out in faith right now. Because the truth of the matter is what? That God wants His people to go. We sit around here and our mission, we say it all the time, we see it all the time, be the church. God doesn't want us to be the church at some point down the road. He wants us to be the church right now. That's for me, that's for you, that's all of us as individuals, as families who come together in this body of believers. We need to be the church right now, getting people to Jesus right now, overextending ourselves and stepping out in faith and getting exhausted and sacrificing and getting uncomfortable. We do that right now, not later on, but right now, because that's what we've been called to do. And we explored this a little bit a couple sermon series ago with that series entitled Doing God's Will. If you remember in that series, we said there's two aspects to God's will. There's that secret part, that hidden will that we're often infatuated with. We always want to know more. God, what does this relationship look like? What about this job? We want to know all those little details, and we ignore the revealed will of God, which is that He wants all people of the earth, the world, to come to the saving knowledge of who He is and the grace that He has made available to them through the sacrifice of His Son. That's what we're here to do, to tell people about that. And we are that church now. And so we step out and we become a part of this great will that God has of bringing salvation to everyone, of making more disciples. We think of Jesus Himself in the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That's what we're supposed to be doing, and we're supposed to be doing that now. Right now, in our lives, in your life, in my life, in our combined efforts together, right now. And we've always known that. We've always known that's the purpose, that's our mission, that's what we're supposed to be about. But what do? We always respond not with urgency, not with courage, but we always respond with a hesitancy, or we look at God and we say, I get that, maybe I'll do that later, but I'm not ready right now. And so we continue to stand still instead of going. Why? Often because we want more information. We want more details. We want to be able to see the whole path before us. We want to know what everything is going to include, the roads we might have to take, the steps we're going to have to endure. We want to know the difficulties that lie ahead. We want to make sure that we're resourced and equipped properly. We want to make sure that the road's going to end in a place that we want it to end in. And so we want all of the details, and we continue to stand waiting for all of that to be revealed instead of taking that first step of faith as we have been commanded to do time after time after time, just because we want more information. We want the who, what, when, where, why, how, and all the while God is continuing to call us. And despite our unreadiness, He just wants us to trust Him and to get moving. He wants us to put one foot in front of the other. He wants us, Anderson Christian Church, He wants you and yourself and your family to wake up today and to start being His church right now. Right now. That's what He wants from us. And I see that in the stories of Justin and Ashley going down there with the Sparrow mission that they began, and to see the great work now that God is doing, and they're involved in things down there that I don't think they ever even thought would be possible. They just had to respond with the faithfulness to go. Chris and Alicia, and by the way, they're doing fantastic down there. I told them I was proud of them, and you guys would be too, sitting and listening to them translate as Junior spoke and different things that took place, seeing how they interact and their desire. Alicia's starting to teach at a school down there, and Chris is getting involved in these different ministries. You guys would be proud of what they are doing. But what is it? What is it that required of them? They could have sat there and said, well, we're not ready to do that. They could have sat there and said, maybe we can spend a little bit more time in our marriage before we go to such a difficult thing. But they said, God wants us to do this, and we're not going to hesitate. We're not going to tell him later. We're going to go and be obedient to it right now. And God has used it to do incredible things. We think of Abraham that we just looked at in the past sermon series of promises. And God comes to him and calls him out of the land that he lives in and says, I want to send you to a land of which I will show you. Right? Abraham didn't know where the road was going to end. The only thing he had to go on was the promise that God was going to be with him and that he was going to bless him in a mighty way. And Abraham simply had to respond with the faith to go right then. We see it countless times through the scripture. We even see it in the disciples. Jesus sits there and says, you guys follow me now. I'm going to make you not fishers of fish any longer, but you're going to become fishers of men. And they do. In that moment, right then, they leave it all behind. The boats, the nets, the livelihood, the business, the family. And they walk with Jesus, having no idea what really lied ahead. But they responded right now. And that's what's required of us. Just to respond now. These people didn't know the contents of the rest of the story. They didn't even know what was on the next page. We don't often know what is next either, but we respond with the same faith of God, here am I, send me. See, God is awakening His church, and we've talked about this a few times already. Especially in America, I look across and I hear stories. I talk to other people that I know in the ministry, completely different places of the country, and God is bringing and instilling the same message, the same desire, the same mission within His church, that be the church, that you don't go to church. This isn't something that you play. This isn't something that you just go and are entertained by. This is something that you are, and it's a mission that you have accepted. This is something that you will do right now. You will be my church, and you will bring people to salvation by sharing my love and my grace with them and telling them who my son is. And as God continues to wake up this church all across this nation, it's not enough for just to hear his voice and to sing songs about it and maybe do a few studies on it and then look at him and say, but I'll respond to that later. But rather, it's he wants us to respond right now. We've got to start moving. Again, in our own lives individually, but also in our lives together as His church, we must start moving. When God says move, we don't look at Him and say, I'll get to that, but we do it right then and there. So as God awakens us, we listen and we move. We start moving even if we can't see the end of the road, even if we don't know the contents of everything that's going to happen along this journey. We step out in faith just like Abraham, just like the disciples, just like Chris and Alicia. We step out and God handles all of the details. You know, I think of my wife, Krista, her favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz. A lot of people like The Wizard of Oz, right? It's one of those classics. And she's big Judy Garland and all those things. She loves that stuff. And in that movie, what is it? Dorothy lands from Kansas in Oz, and she's lost, and she just wants to go home. And they tell her what? What does she have to follow to be able to get to the Emerald City and to be able to go home? What is it? The yellow brick road, right? So she stands there and it starts with the little curly thing and it goes off and she can't see the whole thing, right? She can't see where all that's going to lead. She can't see that it's going to lead through that scary little forest or through that poppy field when they all fall asleep. She doesn't see that it's going to lead her next to the witch and there's going to be adversaries. She doesn't see all of that. But she could have stood there and said, you know what, I'll just wait. I'll just wait here. Maybe I'll feel better about this later on. Maybe make sure I'm just, maybe go through some training or something like that. No, she didn't. She didn't hesitate. She's just, all right, let's sing a song and go, right? Now is the time to go. But we do that a lot of times. We sit there and we stand at the start of this yellow brick road and God says, I want you to go on this path. It will lead you home. And we sit there and we say, but God, what all is included on this path? Can you give me some details as to what this is going to feel like? Some of the things I'm going to have to endure? Some of the events that perhaps are going to take place? God, are you sure that I'm ready to make this trip? Because I don't really feel that ready. Maybe I need to do some training or you know, get some more resources or some more people to go with me. And so we continue to look at God and say, you know what, maybe later. Instead of simply saying, I will go now. Now this is hard for me. It is. I consider myself to be somewhat of a spontaneous guy, right? My wife is one that likes to have everything planned out and figured out and you know, a schedule of sorts. I'm not a schedule guy. I'm just we'll get there and figure it out. We go to visit my dad, and she wants to know, what are we going to do while we're up there? I don't know. We're going to go up there and we'll figure it out. You know, that's what I do. If we're going to go see a movie, that's fine. We'll go. I'm pretty comfortable with what it's going to be like. I know where it is. But where I struggle is with big moments, right? With big things, whether it's in ministry or life. And I sit there and I've always hesitated. I've always waited. You know, maybe it's even when we started dating, right? I was afraid. I was never that confident guy when it came to dating or anything like that. I would sit back and it had to be, you know, just I had to know for sure before I would say anything that she would say yes to a date. You know, that's just, that was my fear. That was who I was. And so I've always struggled with being hesitant and stepping into things. And that includes in my spiritual life and in my ministry. I look at it and I know what God wants me to do. He's made it very clear what He wants me to do and you to do. But often I look at Him and I just continue to hesitate and I tell Him to wait. Why? Because I sit there and I still struggle with the same things. I still struggle with feeling good enough or smart enough or wise enough or big enough or strong enough or equipped enough or experienced enough. And because all those doubts continue to creep into my mind, it always leads me to look at God when He tells me to go tell my neighbor about Jesus, when He tells me to go and serve outside of myself, when He tells me to get exhausted and take that step of faith, and I look at Him and say, I can't. Not me. Not now. And I've said that on countless occasions, all because of those doubts that have found root within my mind. How about you? Have you ever had those similar doubts? Have you ever sat there and said, not me, I'm not, I've never done that before. I'm not smart enough to do that. People don't like me enough to be able to do that. And because you have those doubts that have found their way into your brain, you hear God's call and you say, not me, God. Maybe someone else. And I would venture to say that we're probably all guilty of that at times, maybe more than we would like to admit. But here's the reality of it. See, it's dangerous when we can understand that we as individuals do this so often in our life and in our faith. Because when I'm doing it and you're doing it, what is the church doing? We're doing that. As a church as a whole, then we look at God and we say, not us, God. Maybe the church down the road. Not us, God. We're not ready for that. Not us, God. We're not strong enough, big enough, smart enough. We're not experienced enough. And when the church is doing that, it sets us up for a very dire position. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we see the people of Israel that struggle continually, right? We talk about that often. The relationship with God. They'll be close to Him, they'll be obedient to Him, and then they fall away. They forget about Him, they're unfaithful to Him, and they find themselves oppressed by a people. And they cry out to Him, and God raises up a judge who leads them out of that oppression, and then they repeat the cycle yet again. And in Judges chapter 6, if you want to turn there, you'll see that the people of Israel, the people of God, are in a pretty difficult position. They are struggling mightily. They are being oppressed by the Midianites, and it's been going on for quite some time, to the point where the people of God, the Israelites, the strong Israelites, the ones who have come from Abraham, who have been given this land, the ones whom God has led out of the slavery of Egypt and all these things that He's done for them, are dwelling in caves. They're hiding in strongholds. They're sitting in dens. They're hiding in the mountains because of the fear that they have of the Midianites and those that are oppressing them. Even to the point that when it comes to planting and harvesting their food, their sustenance for life, they are afraid to do it out in the open because their enemy comes like a swarm of locusts and takes everything that they've got. And so they're just doing their best to survive, struggling under the hand of their oppressor. And so in Judges chapter 6, we see the people of Israel finally cry out to God and ask Him for help. Right? They've had enough. We can't do, God, where are You, essentially? And God responds, and He tells them why they are in this position in the first place. He sends a prophet. In Judges chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it says, "The Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and He said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.'" So here they are in this difficult situation, finally to the point of breaking, and they cry out, "God, where are you? God, help us." And He responds by sending a prophet to tell them, Hey, remember all those things I did for you? Remember the slaveries that I've led you out of, the oppressors of who you have defeated? Remember this land that you're dwelling in that I gave you? Remember that thing that I told you not to do? Remember how I told you that I will be faithful to you and you will be faithful to me, that I will be your God and you will be my people? Well, guess what? You guys haven't been doing that. You guys have not obeyed my voice. And so God's kind of stern with them here in this moment, making sure that they realize the error that they have made, the mistake that they have made. He wants them to learn from the situation. You're in this position because you have not obeyed my voice, because you have been unfaithful. And I read that passage, and I don't know about you, but I see myself right there. I see myself as the Israelites, as the people of God, in that state that they are, just trying to survive, fear, full of fear, and just afraid to step out, and just, you know, getting in the strongholds once a week, and having little meetings, trying to maintain that identity, but really just afraid of losing everything if we were to be found out. I see myself in this passage, knowing full well what God has done for me, that He's called me out of the slavery of sin, that He has beat my oppressors, that He has led me into freedom, that He has given me the land, and yet I sit there and I respond with fear, and I do not obey His voice when He tells me how I should respond and the commands that He gives me. And so I see myself, I see the church in this passage. Because instead of out reaping the great harvest that we should be reaping, we're just huddled in our strongholds trying to survive, and we are afraid. Why? Why is the church afraid? Because we hesitate to obey His voice. What does God say? God says, go and make disciples, and we stay. God says, trust me, and we say, why don't you show me first? God says, love me with your whole heart, and we say, well, we love you. With a lot of us, most of us, we're constantly contradicting what it is that He commands us to do. And it's no wonder why we're in a similar position to the Israelites. So what do? Well, we take a cue from the Israelites as well. Just as they got to that point of breaking and they realized that their only hope was in the Lord, they cried out to Him for Him to hear them and for Him to bring them salvation once again, for Him to deliver them once more, to bring help as only He can. And so we learn from that too, right? We come together now and we understand for things to get different, for things to change, for us to find the confidence that we should have to re-engage in the mission that we have been given, to become His people once again. It's not about us making a decision. It's about His presence coming back into our midst. It's about becoming His again and Him becoming ours. And so we learn from them and we cry out to Him. And that's another reason why I'm really pushing and encouraging you guys to come on Wednesday night, the night of worship. Lord, hear us as we, brothers and sisters in Christ, get together and cry out to God and just say, hear us, heal us, help us, instill Your Spirit within us, make us Your church, put us back on mission. Lord, we need You. If we're going to be Your church, if we're going to be effective, if we're going to do the things that You want us to be, then You need to be right here in our midst. So Lord, hear us. And it's time to get serious about that, folks. It's time to get serious about that. As a church, as Anderson Christian Church, to come in here together and stand next to one another and to cry out to our God, our King, our Lord, and to say, hear us and use us, send us, is so important. So come, be here Wednesday night. Moving on. And Judges, they cry out for help and God responds. He sends the prophet, but He also does something else. He responds, even though He is angry, with more grace and an opportunity to come out of hiding and to once again thrive in the land that He has given them. And a little bit later here in Judges chapter 6, we see Him approach an individual, a man named Gideon, the son of Joash. Now, when He encounters Gideon, He's not in a place that we would expect Him to be, right? If we're going to find the hero, the man who's going to lead them out of this oppression, the man who is going to lead them to military victory, you wouldn't expect to find Him hiding. That's what He's doing. He's down in a wine press and He's threshing wheat. So it's not the place you're supposed to be doing that, right? That's where you're separating the wheat from the chaff. So you throw it up and you let the wind do that. That's pretty difficult to do down in a wine press. And that is where we encounter this hero of sorts. That's where God first comes to him and calls him to the work that He has laid out for him. So He comes to Gideon, son of Joash, down in a wine press. And this is what He says in Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." You read that, do you see yourself in there? Do you hear yourself responding to the call of God in the very exact same way that Gideon does? Well, where have you been, by the way, God? Of course, we know here from this passage where he was and what was taking place, but then we get that call again and we respond by saying, "You didn't mean me. I've got so many things in my past, so many sins, so many mistakes. I'm not qualified to be able to tell other people about Jesus. I'm not qualified to tell other people to walk away from their sin. God, my own family is a mess. I can't help anyone else. God, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough to be able to win any debates. God, I'm just not the person that you need in this role. I am weak. I am small. I'm just not ready. Not right now." Because I read that and I hear myself all the time. Telling God, not now, but maybe later. Then what is that call? Well, for Gideon, he comes and says, "I want you to lead my people out of this oppression. I choose you to deliver my people." And what's Gideon's response? "Well, I can't do that." And what's God's response? "Yeah, I know you can't do that, but I can, and I am the one who is going to be with you. I am the one who will do the heavy lifting. All I need out of you is obedience to go right now." And God comes to us as we gather in this place. Sundays, we sing songs all about this kind of stuff. We study scriptures in our Sunday schools and in our life groups and during the sermon time. We do devotions on this stuff all the time. He comes to us, whether it is when we're alone or when we are all together, and he gives us these calls as well. And what is his call for us, Anderson Christian Church, for you as an individual and as a family? What is it that he wants you to do? He wants us to help bring freedom to people who are oppressed by sin. He tells you, "I've equipped you and I'm going to send you, and you are going to help bring these people to salvation by telling them what it is that I have done." And how do we respond? Well, maybe the preacher. Send him. Maybe the elders. Maybe the Sunday school teacher. Not me. I'm not ready for this. I'm not good enough for this. We respond in the exact same way. I'm weak. I'm small. I can't. There's more qualified people. There's bigger churches out there. There's people with bigger budgets. There's people with better minds for all this. What can I do? What can we do? Sometimes we even have that mindset as a church as a whole, right? There's so many other bigger places out there that can do so many other extraordinary things. What can we do? And we look at God and say, not us. Not right now. And what's God's response? It's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's about what I have already done. All that matters is that I, the God of galaxies, has chosen you. And have you thought about that? Have you looked in the mirror at any time recently and thought that God has chosen you for His mission? Have you looked around this room and seen the individuals that sit by you in your Sunday school room or whatever it may be, that God has chosen you to come together for a very specific purpose right here in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky? That God has placed you and your family with the people that you are surrounded by for the very distinct purpose of bringing them to the understanding of the salvation of Jesus on the cross and the empty grave? Have you ever thought that God has chosen you just like He chose Gideon? Has it ever really clicked in your mind? Because it's the truth. God has chosen you. He's chosen Anderson Christian Church. He's chosen your family. He's chosen your life to bring salvation to your neighbors. To bring salvation to this town that we find ourselves to be a part of. It's His people doing things that we are completely incapable of. That's what points back to God. In our weaknesses, He is strong. And I love that about Him. That the weaker I am, the stronger He is. That the less of me, the more of Him. And that's great on an individual level, but when you get in an entirety of the church, man, the possibilities are just limitless. The God of the galaxies has chosen us. He's chosen me. He's chosen you. And He will be with us to the very end. Remember that great commission, the promise attached to it? Just like the promise that we see here in Judges, that I will be with you. God, Jesus tells us, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Yeah, the mission that lies before you is impossible for you to do. You are incapable. You aren't smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not experienced enough. But I am. I am more than any of those things. And I am more than enough for that. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, Gideon responds, though, the same way we do. Not satisfied. I need more, God. I need further confirmation that you are who you say you are. And so we see this little test that he goes through here with the angel of the Lord that is before him. And he gets the confirmation that he wants. But he's not even satisfied there. We see it happen all throughout Gideon's story. Whether it's listening to the enemy in the night before as they talk about their fear of the Israelites. Or maybe it's even of the fleece that he puts out and the test that he gives to God with keeping it dry and the grass wet or vice versa. And it's just this continual need that Gideon has to make sure that what is about to happen is indeed from the Lord, and that things are going to turn out the way that He needs them to turn out. God, are you sure? Essentially, is what Gideon continues to say. And we can't blame Gideon for that lack of faith, because I'm right there with him. always saying, God, can you just make sure? Can you show me? Can you give me a sign? Because we sit here and we say, well, if I were Gideon and I were down there and God showed up in front of me in a big cloud like that, I would sure listen to him. But that's just a bunch of hogwash, isn't it? Because the truth is, well, we don't have that one-on-one encounter. We have the cross that stands for all eternity and this word of God right here, that if we are claim exactly what we say we believe, that this is his word, then we can't sit in denial any longer of what it is that we are supposed to do, that he has indeed sent you and me to go and do this mission. So why are we still hesitant? We're just like him. What do? We even sit here and we say, we got a neighbor maybe that is struggling, a neighbor that we know needs to be connected to Jesus. And, you know, we have these opportunities to invite them either into our life or to church or whatever it may be. And we go to God and we pray, God, do you want me to talk to my neighbor about Jesus? Have you ever said a prayer like that? Probably have, haven't we? God, do you want me to tell my neighbor about you? What do we think the response is? What do we think the scripture tells us? What do we think everything that he has led us to, his response is going to be? You know what that's like? That's like my boys coming up to me and saying, hey, Dad, our room is a mess. Should we clean it? Yes. Should you tell someone about Jesus? Yes. Should you go and do absolutely whatever you can to help get one person to Jesus? Yes. Should you sacrifice and get uncomfortable? Should you invest everything that you've got, even if it just means one person coming to Jesus to spend all of eternity in the presence of the Father? Yes. Do it. Don't hesitate any longer. Jump on board and say, here am I, send me, I will do this right now. So Gideon goes on. He gets his confirmation, and we get to this almost to the moment of the battle. But before he can engage in battle with the enemy, he has to engage in a battle with his own house, with his own heart. In Judges chapter 6, verses 25 through 26, it says, that night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here, with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. And so God directs him to handle the idols in his life and the idols of his family, the idols of his heart. And that is an important lesson for us to learn as we engage and we march toward being his church and interacting with our world, this great battle that lies before us. Before we can do any of that, we have to look in our heart and we have to win the battle at home. Because before we can go to Washington and win battles there and overturn whatever it is we want to overturn, the battle has to be won at home. And these idols, these things that do not belong in our life, whether it's an individual or a family or as the church as a whole, have got to go so that we can be completely free to engage in the mission God has given us and be free from any kind of hindrance. So to win the battle at home, win the battle in your heart, and then we can focus on the battle that lies ahead. So Gideon does just that. And then God does something pretty unorthodox. Now here we are, we got this big battle coming up. God's told him from the very beginning, you're going to win this fight. And here they're getting set and they're ready to go. And maybe Gideon's feeling pretty good about himself because he's amassed a pretty good army. He's got like 32,000 guys with him. And they're getting ready to attack. And maybe he's looking around like, man, we got a shot. That guy's really good with the sword. That guy's got a really good mind. We can do this. And then God changes the game plan. In Judges chapter 7, verses 2 through 7, we see what God does. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. Let's pause there for just a second. Can you imagine being in Gideon's shoes? You know, all through this, he struggled with the confidence of knowing that how this is going to turn out despite God's, you know, continual reminder as to what it is that he is doing. And maybe he's looking around and he's saying, man, God's got us 32,000 guys. We can do this. He has done this. And then God shows up and says, yeah, why don't you tell anyone who's afraid to go on home? And now he looks around and goes from 32,000 all the way down to 10,000. And the unsettled feeling that Gideon probably has in the pit of his stomach. God, what are you doing? But he doesn't stop there. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, he shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let the others go, every man, to his home. What? I can't imagine the sinking feeling that Gideon is now looking from 32,000 men to 300. What are we doing? God, why would you lead me down this path? How is this going to turn out? God, what is it that you're doing? But God doesn't even stop there with the unorthodoxy of things, right? It's not just the number of men now he's taking up against this great enemy, but it's also the method in which they're going to engage in battle. Not with swords, but with clay jars and with trumpets and with torches. And we know what happens, right? And those of you who have read that story, they gather around that camp at night and they break those jars, they sound those trumpets, they do that yelling, they got the torches out there, and the enemy is thrown into this fear, and they run off, and the army of Gideon is given this victory, just the 300 of them. Now what God did, though, by whittling down all those individuals that were there, is what did he point to? Who is the only one now that can get credit for this victory in battle? Is it Gideon? No. It's God. Because what they just did was impossible. And the position that God put them in by removing individuals actually set them up for a greater opportunity to bring God glory. To bring him glory. Have you ever felt like that in life, though? Maybe you're humming along and feeling pretty good, and all of a sudden some tragedy hits or something happens to make you start to question, you know, what God, what is it that you're doing exactly in my life? Maybe as a church you look around and you say, God, what is it that you have done? You maybe you go through a time of loss and you're just struggling. God, what is it that you are doing? But maybe God's putting you right in the position that he wants you to be in so that greater glory can be brought to his name. So that greater things can be proclaimed to him, because it's only through him that that would be possible. And so maybe you feel small, weak, outmatched, but our strength again is not in us, but it is found only in him. See, he promised Gideon victory. He's promised us victory too. He's promised us victory. He's promised us where this journey ends. He's promised us that when we go out there and we engage in this, you know, there's going to be victory. Lawrenceburg can be ours in the name of the Lord if we would simply go as we have been commanded and stop looking at God and saying, maybe later. Your neighborhood could be his if we would just go and talk to him. If we would just give the opportunity. But what's the trap in all of that? The trap is to be able to come into a place like this and to sit and be able to say those things rather freely, that we know what God is capable of and what it is that he wants us to do. We know he wants us to reach this community at whatever cost it takes, because he wants more people brought to him. It's easy to say that thing, but it is so incredibly hard to actually go out and do it. Why? Because we don't feel ready. As Anderson Christian Church, sometimes you sit around and my temptation is to say, I don't feel ready. There's churches down the road in Southeast Christian Church that are 18 to 20,000 strong. What can we do in comparison to that? We can do absolutely anything. Anything. Us, this group of 100 people, not because of you or me, but because of the God that we serve. But anything's not going to get done if we continue to sit and say, maybe later, God. But not right now. That's the trap that we often fall into. And we look around at our body of believers and sometimes we say, we're just not ready. Maybe you've been here for a while and you say, you know what, we're not even what we were 7+ years ago. What can we possibly do? We need more time. We need more resources. We need more people. Looking around right now, just because we have fears, because we have anxieties, because we're unsure, we're uneasy, it doesn't mean that right now we have been put to the position that God wants us to be in this exact moment. Just like Gideon and his army of 300, it wasn't the 32,000 that he had, but it was just what God wanted. Think about it this way. What situation does God get more glory from? What situation does God get more attention and more praise from? The group of 20,000 with unlimited resources and great minds that does some pretty cool things? Or the group of 100 that completely sacrifices and lays down in submission to God and does impossible things through? There's the other group people look at and say, well, yeah, they should be doing stuff like that. Look at all the things they have and the people they have and the resources they have. But when the group of 100 steps out and incredible things start to happen, there's only one place for them to point to. And where is that? God. The only way those people did that is because God was doing it. The only way those people found victory in that is because God was in that. The only way those things are happening, the only reason the Lawrenceburg is turned upside down is because God was using those 100 people and it was his power in all of them. It wasn't about them, but it was all about him. And that's what I've been struggling with for quite a long time. I've got friends in ministry all over the place. Friends in ministry of churches that are smaller, friends in ministry of churches that are much bigger. And I sit there and I feel like, you know what, there's things that I know we should be doing. There's things that I know God wants us to do, but I don't feel like we can because I don't feel ready because my buddy over there has got this church like that and we're not near that. Maybe once we get close to that, then we can start engaging those things. And I keep looking at God and saying, I know we're supposed to be about this mission, but not right now. And I've got to get to the point where I stop playing that game and I just say, God, use me, use us right now in this moment. Get your will done through us no matter what it means for me. That's the place that we have to arrive at. Because that's where God gets all the glory. So we should be out there doing the unexpected, all because of God working through us. And it's because of that that I really want to share something with you, something I'm excited about. And I mentioned it last week at the potluck. A little adventure, a little journey that we are engaging in here as a body, as a whole, over the next 3 years. You see, God has given us, Anderson Christian Church, a calling, right? We understand that we are people that have been called out of darkness into His light to bring glory to His name. That's our purpose. That's what we are here to do. And we are people that are working together in unity, bound by the blood of Jesus, to take the knowledge of God and His chain-breaking, life-giving love that He has to as many people as possible. That's what we gather here to do today. That is it. No other purpose than that, to bring glory to God. That's our objective. Now, we tend to do a good job talking about that and studying that and singing songs about that, but for the most part, we largely ignore the actual command to go and do. We hesitate. God says go, we sit. God says trust, we say show me. And as we look around at our world and in our community as a whole, in Lawrenceburg itself, we know. The world's not getting any better, is it? The world's getting darker and darker. We see the devastation of sin in our lives and in the lives of our families and in the lives of our community. We know that they need Jesus. We know that this Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, Anderson County needs Jesus. And we, Anderson Christian Church, have been placed right here for that purpose, to get people to Jesus. That's what we are here to do. And as the world gets darker, less and less people just show up to church. And so what has to happen is that we have to continue to embrace the idea that we will be a church where you can come as you are. But even more than that, we must become a church that goes where they are. Right? We have to go. We have to engage. We have to go now and be a part of these things and allow God to use that faithfulness to do what only He can do. And so the time to do that has come now. So what we're going to do over the next 3 years is we're going to enter into a 3-year journey of a vision campaign. And this is where we're going to cry out to God and ask Him to use us as His church right now. Not later, not when we feel more comfortable, not when we feel ready necessarily, but right now, because we understand it's His power that accomplishes all of these things. And this campaign is a moment for us to put all of our hearts together, to sacrifice together, to work together, to acquire what is necessary for us to pursue the calling that He has given, the vision that He has given Anderson Christian Church of reaching the people of Lawrenceburg, Kentucky and Anderson County. And so what we want to do over this 3 years as we do this campaign, this vision campaign, this capital campaign, and we bring these funds in to approach these things, there's a couple of areas that we're really going to target. We're going to target facility enhancements, right? We're going to look and we're going to make some changes, some improvements that have to happen. So over the years, things break down, don't they? They get worn out a little bit. And so things need, I know, looking over here, Brad, he shook his head. Brad's been keeping our HVAC going on Band-Aids here, him and Tony. But, you know, some things like that need to be approached, that needs to have some improvements. Also, are some of the facility upgrades and that sort of thing in here. You notice our video this morning, the audio things. The technology moves quickly, and we have to do some upgrades there as well, some enhancements just for the experience that we have together. And so there'll be some changes in the sanctuary as well. Nothing too crazy, nothing else. We're all out of the realm of what we may expect, but just some things to enhance that time together that will really bring together our community time when we are in here with one another, understanding what the purpose is and why it is that we have gathered. And so there'll be some other things like that that'll go along with it. Our parking lot, we've got a good start on that due to a great donation from a class a couple years ago, but we need to do more. And so there's some transportation upgrades, things like that. But the big thing is something that is going to happen outside of these walls. For a long time, I've been sitting and I've been wrestling with what God has been telling, because He knows that we look at this community and we're here to reach Jesus, get them to Jesus. And I keep hearing Him tell me over and over and over again, and I've told Him not now, later, 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 but I can't ignore it any longer, is that He wants us to be in our community. And where better can we do that than to have some kind of physical presence in the heart of our community? And what is the heart of a community? For me, it's that quickly revitalizing downtown. right? It's being out there with some kind of presence, whether working with that new Hope Light Ministry, whatever, all these different things. It's unsure right now what it's going to look like in the end. I think of Justin and Ashley, who just went to Honduras, and God opened up the doors, and He made that path as they went. Right now, we're at that stage where we got to give God that faith and say, well, you're sending us, we'll go, we'll be ready. And so as we raise those funds, we'll be ready whenever God opens that door for whatever it looks like. But when we get into the heart of the community, then we can get into the lifeblood of the community, and we can be a part of individuals, and we can show them that we as a church are for them, that we love them, and more importantly, God loves them. And so there's a lot of those details that we'll see that are emerged as God continues to reveal them to us, but I am so excited. I'm excited because I know that this isn't something, look, I've sat there and I've wrestled with this because I don't want to do it necessarily. I don't want you to sit there and think, well, this is just some crazy thing that Brandon wants to do. No, because I would be much more comfortable showing up here and just continuing to preach week in, week out, and doing what we do. But that's not what God wants us to do. And I told Krista a while back, the thing I've been struggling with so much, it was months ago, is just that too comfortable. We're too comfortable. We shouldn't be that comfortable. There is a purpose for us being right here. There is a purpose for us being in Anderson County, for us being right here in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. And I understand that the first reaction that you want to say is, well, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't enter that. I mean, look at us. We're a church of 100. We're too small. We're not ready. We just can't do that. But neither was Gideon. God will use our faithfulness, and He will do incredible things. And I cannot wait to go on this journey with you, my family, to see what God does to turn little old Lawrenceburg completely upside down, all in the name of Jesus, as we go forth speaking His name. See, God says, keeps saying, move, and most of my life I've said, not now. Most of my life up until this point, I keep putting Him off, but in this moment, that ends. It ends immediately. Because no longer will I tell God, not now, but I will say, here am I, send me. Lawrenceburg needs us. Anderson County needs us. The kingdom needs us. And the time is now for Anderson Christian Church to come out of hiding in our little strongholds and to allow God to use us in bringing freedom to the oppressed. The time is now for us to take Jesus to our families. The time is now to take it to your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, your dad, your kids, whatever it may be. The time is now for you to take Jesus to your friends and the circle of coworkers that you have around us. The time is now for us to take Jesus to our neighbors and all of our neighborhoods and down to the streets in Lawrenceburg and into the aisles of Walmart. The time is now for us to get serious about being His church. The time is now. And so as individuals and as families and as the church as a whole, we will sacrifice, we will get uncomfortable, we will get exhausted. We'll go in over our heads to the point where we don't know where the next step is going to come from, and we're not going to leave anything in the tank. The time is now, and I want you to join us on this journey. I want you to be a part of what God is doing. I've never been more excited about anything. God is going to move, and He already is moving. Now, there's going to be more details. We're going to give you guys all kinds of papers next week, and we're going to be doing some one-on-one meetings and getting with you guys and being able to give you all the details of everything that's going on. And we're not, this capital campaign, it's not like we're raising multi-millions of dollars or anything either, right? This is, we've had the appropriate financial analysis of the church to tell us what is kind of feasible for us, and it's going to be a great ride, and it's going to stretch us, it's going to prepare our hearts, because more than the money we're going to collect, it's about the hearts that are going to become in tune with God's heart for this community. And so I am incredibly excited, but the time for that now is now, right? That's the big push for everything right now. It's now. And what I want us to do, what I challenge you to do right now before you get any other information all this week is spend time in prayer. Get your heart right. Give it completely to God right now. Surrender to Him right now. And maybe it's sitting there and it's saying, you know, I've been going to church for a long time, but I continue to hold out on Him, but that ends now. God, I'm not going to tell you to wait any longer. Use me now. We're going to close right now, having taken this story of Gideon and the faithfulness that he shows and how God uses him and the glory that is brought to His name because of that. And we're going to challenge you guys to make that prayer again, that God, do Your will through me no matter what it means for me. But also God, I want to give my life to You. And maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you need to do that for the first time. And if that's you, we're going to pray and we're going to ask you to come as we sing. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the ACC Be the Church podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and check us out on our website at accbethechurch.com.